Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
While multi-billionaire spaced-out Amazon head Jeff Bezos says get back, Amazon workers are continuing to fight back. Hey, Bezos, they know what you can do with the wealth stolen from their back-breaking labor. Amazon fired Christian Smalls. Now he's leading a grassroots effort to unionize the fiercely anti-union colossus. More than 5,000 workers are in the Staten Island warehouse. And joining us now is Christian Smalls, fired and discriminated against Amazon worker, leading the charge to unionize, and Madeline Wesley, pro-union Amazon worker organizer at the Staten Island warehouse.
Christian Smalls, you have now taken on the biggest challenge, I think, in your work life, still recovering from when Amazon fired you last year for protesting the health and safety violations of the Amazon plan in the middle of a pandemic. So now you've taken on an effort to unionize more than 5,000 workers at four Amazon facilities in Staten Island, including a giant warehouse. Recount for us what led to your firing and then what imbued you with the strength and energy to go through at least a year-long process to strike back and to unionize the series of Amazon facilities.
Last year, the beginning of the pandemic, New York transitioned into the epicenter. Amazon failed to protect its employees. As a leader for this company for 4.5 years, I felt that it was my responsibility. Spending 40 to 60 hours a week with these people, I consider them my extended family. For me to sit back and be complacent, we didn't have any PPE, no cleaning supplies, no real safety guidelines. That was just inhumane, so I couldn't do that. I decided to take action. When I learned that my upper management told me not to tell the employees in the building that somebody was in the building positive weeks prior. From that moment forward, I pretty much stopped working for the company and started working for the workers. I sat in the cafeteria 10 hours a day, organizing the workers, telling them the truth about what I was told. Went into the general manager's office every morning, trying to get them to close down the facility, to quarantine us for 14 days with pay. Workers had underlying health conditions, pregnant women, people were working in fear. There was no safety protocols in place. After doing that for an entire week, they decided to quarantine just me and nobody else, not even the person I ride to work with. Nobody in my department, nobody that came in contact with the positive person, just myself. So I knew that they were using that quarantine policy, which none of us seen, by the way, to silence me and stop me from organizing workers. I decided to take further action, put on the walkout on March 30th. 2 hours after the walkout is when the company decided to terminate me. But what motivated me to continue fighting was not really the firing. It was more so the smear campaign that Jeff Bezos and his top general counsel tried to put on. They signed off calling me, you know, not smart or articulate. And ironically, they gave me the good idea to make me the face of the whole unionizing efforts against Amazon. Their words, not mine. So I said, you know, that's a good idea. So I started traveling the country, protesting. Been at several of Jeff Bezos' mansions and penthouses across the country. Up until about 6 months ago, after the Alabama result, that's when we decided, after they failed, to try our efforts in home base in Staten Island. So that's exactly what we did.
I wanted to ask about the health and safety protocols that you had been fighting about before. That was mostly with COVID, which policy by the company or lack of it. Could you comment on that and other health and safety issues that are still a problem?
It's trying to talk his way out of it, trying to go back to their pre-COVID policies, meaning that for this company, the pandemic is over. Meanwhile, that's not the reality of the situation. They still contract COVID cases every single day. And Madeline could definitely speak more to that because she gets these text messages. There's one or more individual in these facilities that test positive on a daily basis. Workers are still working in fear, still worried about COVID. Amazon took away the testing area that they had in JFK months ago. They actually uplifted the mask mandate at one point in time in that facility, which didn't make any sense to me around the time the Delta variant came out. They took away the hazard pay last June. You know, there hasn't been no hazard pay for these workers since June of last year. They really don't care about the health and safety of these workers. We watch our coworkers get carried out on stretches every other day on the ambulances, coming to the building, picking up workers that are injured for underlying health conditions as well, high blood pressure, heat strokes, dizziness. just because they're working long hours, they're on their feet all day. It's a high injury workplace. So the working conditions aren't getting any better, and that's the number one priority that we want to fight when we form this union.
Yeah, definitely.
Madeline, you're saying definitely, and I want to know about the kind of work that you do there and what attracted you to the union.
I work in a sort center, not the main facility, not JFK 8 with over like 5,000 workers. My facility is a little bit smaller, less than 1,000 workers. The job that I do can be different every day. I'm not assigned to a department necessarily. I get moved around a lot day by day, and even within each day, they'll move me to like 5 different stations. But a lot of what that includes is lifting heavy boxes and pulling boxes out of trucks and stacking them up to like 7 feet and higher. And it's dangerous. There have been moments where I open up a cart and a bunch of boxes fall up on top of me. There was one point where I was getting so much back pain that I started crying in the workplace because it hurt so bad and I couldn't take it anymore. And luckily one of my coworkers stepped in to help me. At the end of the day, that's what the union's about, right? The coworkers come stepping in for each other. The union is also more about the working conditions and the pay, and obviously we need better working conditions and pay, but it's also just about workers having a voice in what goes on in our workplace. With the second largest employer in the U.S., us workers, we should have a say in what goes on. I get notifications every other day about COVID cases in my building that don't even tell me what department they worked in, what shift they worked in. It's really bad. And I think that the union, it's definitely about the safety issues. It's about not getting paid enough to make a living wage in New York City. It's about a lot of things. At the end of the day, like, I really like the union, and I want to see a union at Amazon because I think that it's the only way things are going to change. The only community that I've known at Amazon is with the people I work with and my coworkers, and that's the best part about working at Amazon for sure.
Chris, what about arbitrary firings, the late policies, time bank on that, other things of that nature?
That's the thing about Amazon. Their turnover rate is 150%. For every 10 workers they hire, they fire 15 of them. That still is a factor that's been reported in the New York Times. And we see this in real time. Every day, workers come to the bus stop where we set up our shop, our tent shop, and tell us, you know, they either just got fired or they're about to quit because they can't handle it. That's another thing why we want to unionize. Job security is a high priority. Making a sustainable workday where you're not working 10 to 12 hours and your commute is 2 to 3 hours each way. That's what you're dealing with when you're working for this company. They put these warehouses far out where you have to commute in. If you don't have a vehicle, your commute could be anywhere from 2.5 hours, 3 hours, even longer on a weekend, coming from all over, all 5 boroughs, including New Jersey. That's just not fair to these workers. Workers lose so much family time working for this company, and we want to change that.
There have been efforts by unions like the Retail, Wholesale, and Department Store Union in Alabama to organize Amazon. The Teamsters are putting energies into organizing the drivers now. You are not working through any established, organized, well-financed entity. You're going directly worker to worker. So tell us about your efforts to organize the workers and why this labor community approach, direct approach, you think is going to make a real difference in cracking this terribly hard nut, the Amazon Corporation.
Amazon's been around for 27 years. We get asked this question a lot. Why not to join with an affiliate, you know, an established union or affiliate with an established union? You know, my answer is simple. Amazon's been around for long enough for it to be done by an established union. That obviously is difficult. A third party, they don't really know the ins and outs, even though it may be they're familiar with the trucking industry. But a warehouse associate is different. Once again, the turnover rate, the fact that it's thousands of employees in a bargaining unit, that Amazon spends millions of dollars to stop these campaigns. We chose an approach where it would be difficult for them to union bust because it's their actual workers that are organizing themselves. They can't really attack them with the anti-literature that they have in Alabama. For example, myself as this particular president of ALU, you know, I don't have the finances of an established union that makes, you know, $250,000. Can't throw that out there. I'm still unemployed. And the fact that we organize differently, it's not traditional, with real grassroots, and it's worker-led. We're putting the workers in the driver's seat. I don't see what's more powerful than workers coming together. Established unions, they have to come in, they have to earn trust, they have to learn the ins and outs of the company. It's more of a difficult conversation when you don't know from the outside looking in. But when you're organizing from within, as you can see, there's success there. So I think this is the best route. And I think the workers are resonating to the fact that we are actual, whether current or former Amazon workers, that know the ins and outs of the company.
Madeline, your perspective on what drove you to the union. I understand it's the conditions, but there's so much prejudice. There's so much publicity of such a negative amount and threats, really, that come about from corporations to workers who try to organize. So how did you overcome that and decide to get immersed in the union and become part of the unionization effort? And how do you break through with other workers the fears of potentially the loss of their job or any of the other negative things that they do as corporations to try to prevent workers from unionizing?
I definitely can't say that it doesn't scare me standing up against a huge corporation like Amazon. There are definitely moments where I'm like, oh my God, what have I taken on here? But at the end of the day, I love my team so much and the people who I work with, and we all support each other. It's a great group. And at the end of the day, while there are moments where it's scary, no one's too afraid to actually continue the work, which is really, really cool. For me, like, I'm not afraid because I know that my team has my back. No matter what happens, I'm going to be supported. And that's the whole point of the union, right? Is like, yeah, Amazon could fire you, even though it's super illegal, but they could also fire you for any reason that they want, basically. It's illegal for them to fire you for joining the union and organizing with the union, but it's not illegal for them to fire you when you can't come in because you have a medical condition, they don't approve your medical leave, and then you have to use your unpaid time off until you go negative, and then they fire you for going negative and unpaid time off. They could fire you for almost anything that they want. You could get fired the next week. It happens all the time. That's part of why the turnover rate is so high. I think with a job like Amazon, which is already like has no job security, it's actually an easier conversation because so many people realize that their job is not secure. And with the union, it might be the only way to get long-term protection and make this job a job that you can actually keep for a long amount of time.
Madeline, also you had mentioned the amount of money you're making, but didn't specify what that is and what you want.
I make $18.25 an hour. You know, by the time taxes are taken out and by the time I spend the tolls getting to Staten Island, it's not that much money. It's not enough to live in New York. Union workers who work in warehouses have unions on average make about $11,000 more per year than we do. So that's a very realistic goal as to what more we could be making. It doesn't stop there. I think as employees of one of the richest corporations of the world, we could get even more. I want to see us get at least the union standard.
Chris, I find it remarkable that you have persevered, but I know how hard it is for a family person who was treated so badly, who lost their job over such a principal position as trying to protect the health and safety of workers and during a pandemic. So tell us a little bit more about your efforts, both to deal with that initial outrage of the firing on that, because I do believe that there is litigation and that the state attorney general has taken up your case. Then what drives you and what you've been doing, how you've been able to even approach this and continue to organize during this last year since your firing?
Last year when I was fired, a lot of people gravitated to me and my story. I couldn't do it alone. People like Madeline and the rest of my comrades that I organized with motivated me to continue. I honestly was a union organizer. I was just a concerned supervisor, a father. just trying to do the right thing and make sure that everybody gets home to their family. You know, our organizing efforts transitioning into a union was advocating across the country, seeing how issues here in New York, from the East Coast to the West Coast, all the way to Beverly Hills, workers had the same issues and wanted to fight back. When I seen how my story carried that torch for everybody to start fighting back and speaking up to their bosses, I always felt like if I didn't do that, who else would carry that? So me getting up every day and setting up the tent and doing something, even if it's a little bit of effort, is doing something instead of doing nothing. That's what just drives me. I always mention that I'm unemployed. The reason why I mention that is because even being unemployed, I still feel like I'm contributing to society. I'm happy that I have this surrounding, supporting cast, because I couldn't do it without them at all. They're the ones who motivate me, because they're still currently working at Amazon, and I'm not. They're the ones who have the opportunity to talk to their coworkers about what's going on the outside. You need that bridge, connection of the controversy, the stories that people don't hear, to reach their public, stories that they tell. I'm just trying to be a voice to uplift those stories, and that's what really motivates me, is that I have a platform, and I want to share this platform with everybody else to make sure that we get the systemic changes necessary with this company, and unionizing is the way to go.
Somebody said that you're actually living in your car, that you're physically on the site.
Well, I'm not living in a car. I mean, we have organizers who unfortunately have subjected to being homeless working for this company. One was just recently. Amazon denied an accommodation for her to move down Florida to be with her mother. So she had to move into a vehicle. She couldn't afford to pay at least another 1 year lease and then try to get transferred. So she had to move into a car. We have another organizer who's been living in her car for the last years. And if you want to say I've been living in my car for the last 6 months, somewhat I have been setting up a tent and tables and chairs every day. It felt like, I'm definitely sleep deprived. I can tell you that. You know, I'm lucky if I can get in a couple of hours sleep a day. We're out there every single day outside of the facility talking to workers.
Usually when we think of union campaigns, we're talking about 5,000 plus workers. You're talking about a lot of fancy flyers. You're talking about resources. How have you been mobilizing, and where do you get the resources? Is it really word of mouth and just the physicality of being on site that is enabling you to reach these workers? Madeline, chime in as well. Tell us about the actual nature of the organizing.
We've been creative. The way we organize is just completely different, 21st style, younger generation type of organizing. We definitely have GoFundMe. That's how we're raising funds, donations. We're real grassroots. We held about 13 barbecues over the summer. We hand out water on hot days. We hand out coffee, hot chocolate on hot days, along with s'mores. We hand out pizza, whatever we feel like will resonate with the workers, whether it's donuts, pizza, barbecues, food, something just to show appreciation, to earn their trust. That really has been helpful. But along with just being a shoulder to lean on, a lot of workers just gravitate to the fact that we have good energy. We hang out over there by the tent. You know, we have a bonfire set up some nights. So it's really a safe haven for workers when they get outside of work. Inside the facility for 10, 12 hours, they don't see the light of day. No windows in there besides the cafeteria. Can you imagine coming to work early morning? It's dark outside. And then leaving work, it's still dark outside. For them to see us outside is just a little bit of light, something that they look forward to now. That's the type of relationship that we have out there, and it's been helpful with organizing wise.
We really are out there almost every day, and especially Chris. He was out there for like 2 full days one time. At the end of the day, we are Amazon workers, like the majority of us, or former Amazon workers. People recognize us. People are like, oh, hey, I didn't know you were involved with the union. They see us inside, and they recognize Chris from when he was working at Amazon. They know that we're down to earth. We're there trying to support everyone.
Absolutely.
Chris, you filed a petition with the NLRB, got your 2,000 signatures, which the NLRB accepted. What's the timeline now in terms of they're reviewing that for an election? And also, Amazon said you'd never get the 2,000. How has that impacted on new people joining the union?
The morale is with us ever since we filed. Workers definitely saw us in the news now, so that's the good thing. We did what we wanted to do as a milestone for our campaign. So the time frame is Amazon now has 5 days to respond to the petition with their dispute. In the meantime, they have to notify every worker in these four facilities that a petition has been filed. From that moment, depending on what they say, on the hearing on November 15th, will determine whether the NLRB will rule in our favor or they will ask for some more requirements. We all know what they did at Bessemer. They said that they didn't have enough cards. So they're probably going to say the same thing about us, that we don't have enough cards. What we're doing now is continue to sign people up right now. We're going to be out there for the next 2 weeks until the day of the hearing. And if they say, all right, not 22,000, we need 2,500. We're going to say, okay, here's the extra 500 cards. We have them already. That's how we're going to continue to organize for the time being. We can only wait until the company responds, and then we'll move on from there.
The issue of discrimination. What happens to older workers? What happens to female workers, for people who identify as female? What happens to people of African ancestry or Latinx folks who are there? Is there discrimination in the way the company functions as well?
All of these issues will be addressed. We've seen the reports, we've seen the articles about, especially with Alabama, 80% of the building is black or brown. 85% of the building was black women. Same demographics up here in Staten Island, a little less though, maybe 60 to 65% black and brown, Hispanic as well. Majority of the workers are women. This union is absolutely going to put that on the forefront, addressing these issues. We heard the horror stories in the last 6 months of women having miscarriages just from being on their feet all day, not being accommodated in a timely manner. Amazon, once again, denying women's accommodations. We had an incident just recently. A woman had heart surgery. They denied her after the heart surgery. And now she just recently went into her second surgery. These type of issues we're going to address right away. We're going to put women first. We're going to absolutely address the fact that there is no real equal employment opportunity. Black and brown workers do not get promoted at the same rate as white counterparts. 70% of the management is white, and they fired over 50% of the black and brown employees within the last year. All of this is actual facts reported in the New York Times. June 6th article is written by Jody Cantor, who's been investigating JFK facility in particular since I've been fired. Yes, over 50% black and brown employees have been fired. Is there
any litigation, discrimination actions pending? I mean, shouldn't this be an issue for also the state attorney general?
Yeah, it is. My firing definitely includes discrimination, mm-hmm. not just with the attorney general, but I also filed a discrimination class action lawsuit. You look at my Twitter handle, it explains that the nature of my claim that it specifically specifies black and brown workers.
So I hear that you'll be having a demonstration outside of Jeff Bezos' townhouse in Manhattan.
The $119 million penthouse right there on 26th and Madison or 23rd and Madison. 525. I've been there so many times, I should know the address. Black Friday for sure, we should be outside of Bezos' house. So stay tuned for the details, but that's set in stone as far as Bezos' house for Black Friday.
Well, I was just going to say, most importantly, is in order to find out where you should be on Black Friday to support our Amazon workers fighting for a unionization, fighting for the rights and benefits of the working class. What do we do to support this ongoing union effort? Because there are lots more activities to come, and there's a lot more resources that you need to be able to continue to persevere and fight what is, as my sister said, the second largest employer, certainly is in the United States, but it may indeed be in the world. What can we do to bring support to you folks?
Please donate to our GoFundMe. Once again, we're real grassroots. Every donation counts towards our efforts. You'll find that on our website, AmazonLaborUnion.org. I'm also our Twitter handle at Amazon Labor on Twitter. If anybody needs a job, want to help organize, please reach out. We can absolutely use the support on the inside as well.
And money.
And then there is one thing, just in case anybody thinks that Amazon is just passively eating the s'mores or just watching as this effort continues. Madeline, what actually has Amazon been doing to frighten, intimidate, or antagonize people to the union? What's been going on?
Mm-hmm. There's anti-union literature all over the facilities. Anytime that I try to put up pro-union literature, they all throw it away immediately. They'll take it down. We have what we call union busters walking around. They're people who, they call themselves like employee relations specialists. And they walk around, they ask people a lot of questions about what they think about the company. It's only going to get worse from here. Now that we've filed, we've heard of escalating actions on the part of the union busters, more aggressive questions that they're asking the employees. We don't know exactly who's responsible, but the bathroom that we use next to the bus stop that we use for organizers, they changed the code on us, bolted the door shut, and they told the bus drivers that they'd take the bathroom away if they told us the code. It's just petty little things, even like that, that they've decided to make our lives as difficult as possible.
I just want to give both of you one last minute. Tell us your final message to those listening, whether it's to get involved or why you're going to be successful or why workers must be successful in collectivizing their energies against the bosses.
The time is now. We're Striketober. All these different industries striking right now, workers standing up for workers' rights, the working class fighting back and realizing their value as workers. The time is now. Don't quit your job. Organize it. That's what you've been seeing, I kind of say, ever since the pandemic started in 2020. 2020 was like 2020 vision. It opened up the eyes of the working class, what really runs this country and this world, capitalism. When the rich get rich, the poor get poorer. And I think we had enough. The workers are realizing their value, realizing that they are worth more, deserve more, need to be treated as such. So the time is now. The revolution is here. We're happy to be a part of it. Let's just continue to fight in solidarity.
Right on.
Madeline, your final word.
Every single worker in the U.S. and probably the world should care about what happens the Amazon on Staten Island in the next few months. At the end of the day, like the studies show, that when union power is strong, the entire working class benefits. And because of how powerful Amazon is in the U.S. and in the world, what happens is going to affect everybody. And so even if you don't work at Amazon, you should absolutely care about what happens with our campaign and with all the campaigns and all the fights against Amazon right now.
And give us the website.
AmazonLaborUnion.org.
While Bezos says, get back Christian Smalls fired and discriminated against Amazon worker, and Amazon worker Madeline Wesley continue to fight back to unionize the Amazon workforce. This has been Building Bridges with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg. Educate, agitate, and organize for the empowerment of we the people, for another world is possible.